That watermelon, the helicopter. I'm still trying to think, like, did it work, or was it just that Atlanta was so incompetent that they didn't know that they could jump on the football? Like, the Cowboys are trying to play it off like they just didn't know how to jump on it, or how the ball would move. And it's like, okay, but literally all they had to do was jump on the ball before you could touch it, because legally they could touch it within the first 10 yards. You can't. So that should have been end of story. But the Falcons did not know how to field it. And I don't think it was because of the way that it was kicked. I just think it was because they don't know how to field it. And this is a great coaching moment for all of coaches across all of football at the high school, collegiate, and pro level to say, hey, within 10 yards, jump on the ball, because that's not live for them, but it is live for us.
Cowboys win it. Miraculous comeback. Ari Temkin with us here on Cofield and Company. Now, a lot of people are concentrating on the kick. The stick-to-itiveness to not lose their spirit throughout the game was impressive on the Cowboys side. And my gosh, Dak Prescott passing downfield, especially because he wasn't great doing it in week one because he had so much pressure on him. The guy is brilliant.
No, I mean, you're right, Cofield. It never comes down to the one play, but that was such a huge play, obviously, the onside kick, because if you're down two possessions with no timeouts and less than 2 minutes left, that's going to be obviously a huge focal point, because there was literally no way the Cowboys could win that game save for what happened with the onside kick. They were down, 15 points with like 5 minutes to go. They kick that, they opt to go for two, which has obviously been a huge point of contention amongst Cowboys fans about whether or not that was the right choice, in terms of do you kick, do you take the, do you go for two early on when you're down 15, or do you kick the extra point and then, extend the game so that you're then trying to attempt a 2-point conversion at the end? I certainly see both sides of it. I guess I'm probably more analytically inclined, so I'm perfectly on the side of, take the 2 points right away so that you know how much more catch up you have to do.
Right.
But I get both sides of it. But a lot of coaching mistakes, I would say, for both sides in this one, where the players just overcame bad coaching. There was a couple of fourth down fake punts the Cowboys attempted, which I think was just egregious. Especially the second one, fourth and five, where they ran a wedge against an 8-man box, which is incredible. But I mean, yeah, Dak really threw the first six quarters of the season. You mentioned the opening game, but then even the first half of this game, we still saw more of, the inability to really push the ball down the field. And, my co-host on the pre and post game show, Brian Broaddus, during the game, he says to me, and he's like, is this a guy you're paying $40 million to? Right, because we talk all the time about a franchise quarterback being a guy that can lift up everything around him, a guy that can, you don't need to have the best offensive line or the best wide receivers or the best this. I mean, it's Russell Wilson, right? Like, it's, you don't have everything great around you, but you are able to make plays in spite of that. And at that point in the game, it was like, I don't know that I've seen that from Dak, right? Like, as we're looking for it. And then lo and behold, he just absolutely goes on an absolute tear in the second half of that game. The Cowboys scored 27 points in the first six quarters of the season. They scored 30 points in the subsequent two quarters of this game. And that was really the life that this Cowboys offense needed, because this team, Cofield, is going to go as his offense goes, and specifically its passing offense. It's built to be a dominant passing offense. We did not see that in the first six quarters of the season, but we saw that in a big way in the final two quarters of this game.
And the other key is some of the young weapons. I thought they were cooked for the season at tight end, but it just turned out they were inexperienced. It didn't, have the accolades, but Dalton Schultz looked great yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the biggest heel turns I've seen in a long time. I mean, this is a guy that looked completely incompetent up until this game. He couldn't block consistently. He was missing blocks, missing assignments. He had really inconsistent hands. And so it was like, as Jarwin emerged, we saw that, like, Dalton Schultz became less and less of a focal point. It was like, why is this guy even on the roster? And then all of a sudden he shows up in a big way in this game. I mean, it's safe to say, I think probably the biggest reason they won this game, not from an analytical perspective, because you look at the stats, I mean, 9 for 88 and a touchdown. It pales in comparison to the 100 yards that Michael Gallup had, or 100 yards that Amari Cooper had, and 100 yards that CeeDee Lamb had. But it was the way that his play underneath into the screen game really softened up that Atlanta Falcons pass rush. The Cowboys are very compromised, missing both of their starting tackles. They have undrafted free agents, one from this season, Terrence Steele, starting at right tackle, and the other from last season, Brandon Knight, starting at left tackle. And so you're very compromised. So the Falcons got after Dak in the first half, and they really got that screen game going with Dalton Schultz underneath in the second half, and that was really what helped to explode their offense. So they don't get that downfield passing game going unless Dalton Schultz opens it up underneath with the screen game. And that was such a big role that he played in this game. And moving forward, at least gives the Cowboys a viable option at that position, which is something we thought they weren't going to have when Blake Jarwin got hurt.